All right, get ready, folks, because today we are diving headfirst into a whole pile of philosophical whatchamacallits and intriguing stories.
Oh, yeah, it's like we're piecing together a puzzle.
Exactly.
One made of thoughts and teachings and hymns, all supposedly from this mysterious E.J. Gold.
That's right. We're talking about the lost works.
As they call them.
Makes you wonder, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, who was this E.J. Gold?
Mm-hmm.
And what was so important that it had to be, like, hidden away?
Well, it seems like he was some kind of teacher, had these students, and he was trying to pass on his wisdom, but not in a typical way. It's a real blend of stuff, you know, Eastern and Western, all these esoteric traditions kind of mixed together.
Right, like he was pulling from everywhere.
Yeah, and there's this real sense of urgency in the writing, too. Like someone was trying to preserve this knowledge before it disappeared forever.
For sure, for sure. Okay, so where do we even start with this?
Well, one thing that keeps popping up is this idea of the ego,
okay,
getting rid of it, actually.
Wow.
Gold says that's like the first step towards becoming what he calls a conscious being.
Okay, conscious being, got it. Now, he uses this analogy, right?
He does, yeah.
About a red house.
The red house.
What's that all about?
Well, imagine this dining room.
Okay, dining room.
But not some fancy, you know, high society affair.
Right.
We're talking like Franciscanware seconds, maybe some plywood floors, pretty basic, you know?
Not fancy.
No, not at all. But Gold makes a point of saying that some pretty profound spiritual work was happening in that simple dining room.
Really?
It's like the physical setting was almost irrelevant.
Yeah, the real transformation was internal. Right?
Exactly. It's not about outward appearances. It's about the inner work.
So basically, it could be a bare bones room, but if the people inside are doing the work, it doesn't matter.
That's the idea, yeah. And, you know, it reminds me of those moments when you have a deep conversation with someone in the most unexpected place.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like on a hiking trail, or maybe just, you know, crammed into a busy coffee shop. It's the energy, the intention that really matters, not the fancy decor.
I totally agree. And speaking of connecting with something deeper, Gold also talks about this inner world.
Yeah, that's where things get really interesting.
And kind of strange, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, this inner world is populated with some pretty peculiar characters.
We're talking like unicorns and rainbows?
Not quite, no. Think more like djinns, a giant snail. There's even a talking frog in there somewhere.
Okay, so definitely not your average fairy tale.
And it's not just about the inhabitants, you know.
Uh-huh.
He also describes the challenges of actually getting to this inner world. Like, imagine a doorway completely blocked by piles of garbage.
Okay, I could picture that.
And then on top of that, you need these special climbing ropes made out of, get this, Egyptian cotton suits.
Wait, what? Egyptian cotton suits.
Seriously.
Yeah, it's wild, right? So what do you think that means symbolically?
Well, if we're talking metaphors here, I guess that garbage could be all the mental junk we carry around, all the clutter we need to clear out to access deeper levels of consciousness.
Right. That makes sense.
And maybe those wacky climbing ropes, they're like the unique tools and practices each of us needs for this inner exploration.
That's a great interpretation. So yeah, getting to this inner world, it's not a walk in the park. It takes effort, preparation, and having the right tools for the job.
And it may be a good laundry service for those cotton suits.
Oh, for sure. But, you know, it's not always clear what those tools are. There's this recurring theme of contradiction and, like, cosmic humor in these writings, which can make deciphering Gold's meaning quite a challenge.
So it's not a straightforward path.
Yep.
It's more like trying to read a map that's been drawn on a Mobius strip.
That's a pretty good analogy, actually.
That's where that story about Yasin Dede comes in.
Yes, that's a perfect example.
Okay, so remind me, who's Yasin Dede again?
Well, that's the funny part. We get all these different conflicting accounts of who he is. Some say he's a coppersmith, others a hog farmer, and then there are those who claim he's a poet. And the whole thing is narrated by, you guessed it, a giant snail.
Okay, I'm starting to see the humor here.
Right, and the snail, it promises that this story will teach us all about finding entrances to the inner world. But then it doesn't. It's like Gold is playing with our expectations, you know, showing us that the spiritual path is often confusing and unpredictable.
Yeah, and maybe a little bit absurd.
Definitely absurd. So we've got this inner world full of strange beings and tough obstacles, a teacher who loves riddles and contradictions. And somewhere in all this, there is a path to becoming a conscious being.
I'm starting to see why they call these the lost works.
Yeah, lost or not, they raise some pretty mind-bending questions.
Like, how does any of this connect to the real world?
Well, one of the most fascinating things about gold is how he links these esoteric ideas to something as seemingly concrete as mass.
Okay, hold on. We're talking about, like, physical mass.
Yes, but gold defines it as a form of communication.
Mass is communication.
That's what he says, and he connects this idea to the biosphere.
Ah, right. The biosphere, that other mysterious term.
It's almost like he's blending spirituality with science, you know?
So how does the Red House fit into all this?
Oh, remember that unusual description of the dining room? It comes up again when he's explaining this masses communication idea.
He does.
Yeah, he says something about people unconsciously recording images onto the biosphere just by being in a room together.
Wait, so just by hanging out in that dining room, they were leaving some kind of imprint on the biosphere?
That's what he's suggesting, yeah. He even calls it an automatic process of copying. Like, the more someone focuses on something, the stronger the imprint they leave.
Okay, I think I'm following. So every thought, every action, every emotion, it all leaves a mark on this biosphere.
That seems to be the idea. He even connects this to personal development. You know, he says our desires, aims, goals, even the subconscious ones, they actually shape our reality.
So we're talking manifestation here, like the power of positive thinking and all that.
It's more nuanced than that. Gold emphasizes effort and action, not just wishing for things to happen. He talks about overcoming our fear of failure and taking risks to achieve our goals.
Right, so it's not just about thinking positive thoughts, but about actually putting in the work.
Exactly. But he also acknowledges that sometimes we just don't have the energy to put in the effort.
We all have those days.
He specifically mentions all the energy we waste trying to control things that are outside of our control.
Oh man, that's so true. Worrying about things we can't change, that just drains us, right?
He calls it a major energy drain. Worrying, overthinking, trying to force outcomes, it all depletes the energy we need to actually engage with life.
So what does he suggest we do instead of trying to control the uncontrollable?
Well, he talks about something he calls intentional stress.
Intentional stress. Isn't all stress bad?
It's not about everyday anxieties, it's more about actively seeking out challenges.
So, like putting ourselves in uncomfortable situations on purpose.
Exactly. He suggests using techniques like hypnotism, mantras, even physical challenges to break down old patterns and awaken what he calls the essence.
The essence. Okay, I remember him mentioning that before. Is that connected to the psyche?
Yes, this is one of the core distinctions in Gold's teachings. He says modern culture encourages the dominance of the psyche, you know, our rational, conditioned mind.
And that often suppresses the essence, which
Yeah.
is our deeper, more intuitive self.
Precisely. In fact, he even suggests that what we label as mental illness might actually be a result of an undeveloped essence that hasn't had the chance to integrate with the psyche.
Wow, that's a pretty radical way of looking at it.
It is, isn't it? So instead of just trying to quiet the mind, he's saying we need to cultivate a balance between psyche and essence.
Okay, that makes sense. So how do we do that? How do we break down the psyche and reveal the essence?
Well, he has this intriguing term, the corridor of madness.
The corridor of madness. Okay, that definitely sounds intense.
It does, but it also speaks to the importance of pushing beyond our comfort zones. You know, it raises the question, how far are we willing to go to access our full potential?
That's a good question. And how do we know if we're pushing too far? I mean, it's one thing to challenge ourselves, but what about safety and guidance? Does gold address that?
He does, and this is where things get even more interesting. Remember those tools we were talking about earlier, the ones you need to navigate the inner world? He hints that there might be one tool in particular, a kind of master key.
You mean the one word he keeps alluding to, the one hidden within sacred scriptures?
Exactly. Gold says this one word holds the key to spiritual freedom, but he doesn't just give it to us. He uses the analogy of a safe with a combination lock, emphasizing that the search for the word is part of the process.
So it's not about finding easy answers. It's about the journey, the effort we put into uncovering those answers.
Right. And that search, that effort, that's also a form of intentional stress, pushing beyond our comfort zones and expanding our awareness.
Okay, but how do we even know where to start looking for this one word? Does he give us any clues?
He mentions various sacred scriptures, but he doesn't specify which ones. It's almost like he's encouraging us to explore different traditions, different paths, and see where they lead us.
So it's not about blindly following one specific path, but about being open to different perspectives and trusting our own intuition to guide us to what resonates.
It seems that way. He emphasizes discernment, avoiding dogma, and questioning everything, even our own assumptions.
Speaking of assumptions, I've been wondering about this idea of the biosphere. It keeps coming up, but I'm still not quite sure what he means by it.
It's definitely a tricky concept. Gold seems to be using the word biosphere in a more expansive sense than we typically think of. It's not just the Earth's ecosystem, but like a field of consciousness, a realm where thoughts and emotions and actions leave an imprint.
Okay, so it's like a collective energy field we're all connected to.
That seems to be the gist, yeah. And remember that whole mass as communication idea, he ties that into the biosphere as well.
Right, right. He says something about masses striving for immortality as immortal ideas in the universal mind. It's a lot to wrap your head around.
It is. But what he seems to be suggesting is that our individual journeys, our efforts to evolve and grow, they leave a lasting imprint on this larger field of consciousness.
So, like, our personal growth contributes to some kind of collective evolution.
It's a fascinating idea, isn't it? It suggests that our lives have meaning and purpose beyond our individual experience.
It makes you wonder, what kind of imprint are you leaving on the biosphere?
That's a great question for all of us to think about. You know, what thoughts, what actions, what energies are we putting out into the world?
It seems like Gold is encouraging us to be mindful, not just of our own personal growth, but of our impact on the larger web of life.
And to remember that our journeys are intertwined. What we do, how we think, how we interact with the world, it all matters.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground today, from the mysteries of the between lives state to the practicalities of using intentional stress for growth and the challenge of finding the one word that unlocks spiritual freedom. It's a lot to take in.
It is. And through it all, Gold emphasizes that this is not a passive journey. It takes effort, discernment, and a willingness to challenge our assumptions.
So as we move into the final part of our deep dive, what's the one thing you hope our listeners will take away from Gold's teachings so far?
Welcome back, folks. Now, before the break, we were starting to get into this between lives state that Gold talks about. And, you know, it really struck me how different his view of death is compared to, like, how we usually think about it.
Right. Yeah. Not just the end, but like a transition.
Exactly. It's like this process that we can actually consciously navigate.
Whoa.
And he even suggests that, like, a practitioner, someone who's really skilled, they can be involved in guiding that transition.
Really? So it's not just something that happens to us, but something we can actively participate in.
That's the idea. It's pretty mind-blowing when you think about all the beliefs we have around life and death, you know?
Yeah, it really challenges everything.
But it also opens up some pretty amazing possibilities, right? Like, Gold outlines all these specific practices for helping someone who's died, helping them to, like, achieve a favorable rebirth.
It's almost like a guide, you
yeah.
know? Helping someone navigate a really difficult terrain.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. So it's not just about what happens after we die, but about how we approach that transition.
Oh, okay. I see.
And Gold really stresses how much our thoughts and emotions can impact the deceased, too. He even says that, like, excessive grief can actually hinder their progress.
Oh, wow. So it's not about denying our feelings, but, like, channeling them in a way that's helpful.
That's what it seems like, yeah. He talks about creating this, like, calm and positive atmosphere for the deceased, almost like sending them off with good vibes and well wishes for their journey.
Okay, that makes sense to me. Like, if we believe consciousness keeps going in some form, why wouldn't our thoughts and emotions still have an impact?
Right, exactly. And that's one of the main things Gold seems to be getting at, you know, that consciousness isn't limited to just the physical body.
Okay, so we've got life, death, the between lives state. It's a lot to digest.
It is.
But Gold also talks about more like everyday things too, right?
Yes.
How we use our energy in daily life, those intentional stress factors we were talking about before.
Right, right. And this is where those practices for breaking down the psyche and revealing the essence come in, like hypnotism, mantras, even just consciously embracing discomfort.
So, like, not shying away from challenges, but actually using them to grow.
Yeah. But, of course, Gold also stresses being careful, right? We can't just go around stressing ourselves out without any guidance.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
He emphasizes the importance of having a skilled teacher, someone who can guide you through these practices safely.
Right. Someone who's been there, done that.
Yeah. And he warns against just blindly following anyone who claims to have all the answers. You know, don't just jump into any group or teaching just because it seems edgy or unconventional.
Oh, absolutely. Got to be discerning, right?
Exactly. He says we should be discerning, but also open-minded. Question our assumptions, look beyond appearances.
So like trusting our gut feeling, our intuition.
Yeah, and being willing to step outside our comfort zones, explore different approaches. Now, you mentioned the Avatar's Handbook earlier.
Oh yeah, that's another one that's been bugging me. What is that thing? Anyway.
It's definitely one of the more mysterious elements in all of this. He never actually says what's in it, you know?
No.
But he hints that it's got knowledge about overcoming suffering.
Oh, right. He says something like, no one needs to suffer. And that a true teacher should be able to show you how to give it up if you really want to.
It's a pretty bold statement.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So how does that connect with all this ego stuff we were talking about earlier?
Well, Gold seems to be saying that a lot of our suffering comes from, like, being attached to this limited sense of self.
Okay, so if we can detach from the ego, identify with something bigger, maybe then we can transcend suffering.
That's what it sounds like.
Okay, I'm starting to see the connections here. So we've got this mysterious Avatar's Handbook with potential secrets to end suffering. We've got techniques for breaking down the psyche and revealing the essence. And then this whole other level of navigating the between lives state. It's intense.
It is. And through all of it, Gold emphasizes finding the right teacher. You know, someone who can guide us through this. But he doesn't exactly tell us how to find that teacher, does he?
That's where that one word idea comes back, right?
Yeah.
The one that's hidden in those sacred scriptures.
Yeah, yeah. Gold says this word holds the key to spiritual liberation, but it's up to us to uncover it. It's like this cosmic riddle. And the process of solving it, that's just as important as the answer itself.
Right. The journey is just as important as the destination. I get it. But how do we even know where to start looking for this word? Did he give us any hints?
He says it's in different sacred texts, but he doesn't say which ones. It's almost like he's encouraging us to explore different traditions, see what speaks to us.
So be open, trust your gut, find what resonates.
Exactly. He's all about discernment, avoiding dogma, questioning everything, even our own assumptions.
Okay. Now, there's one thing I've been wondering about, this biosphere thing. What is it exactly?
It's definitely one of the more complex concepts, but it seems like Gold is using it in a much broader sense than we usually do. It's not just the Earth's ecosystem, but like this field of consciousness, a place where thoughts, emotions, actions, they all leave a permanent mark.
So kind of like a collective energy field we're all connected to.
That's a good way to think about it. And remember that masses communication idea that ties in here too.
Oh, right, right. Masses becoming immortal ideas in the universal mind or something like that. It's pretty out there.
It is. But what he seems to be saying is that through our efforts to grow and evolve, we actually leave a mark on this larger field of consciousness. Like, yeah. We're all contributing to some kind of collective evolution.
Wow, that's a pretty amazing thought.
It really makes you think about the impact our lives have, you know, beyond just our own little bubble.
It does. So with all this in mind, what do you think is the most important thing for people to take away from Gold's teaching so far? Welcome back to the show.
You know, as we're wrapping up our look at E.J. Gold's work, I'm really struck by, well, how much we've actually covered. I mean, we've talked about mass, the biosphere, even that whole between lives state.
It's a lot, right?
Yeah.
And it's amazing how Gold ties it all together. Like, he's painting this picture of reality where, well, where everything's connected and what we do, even our own personal journeys, actually affect this whole web of existence.
It's kind of mind-blowing when you really think about it.
But one thing that keeps sticking with me is how much Gold emphasizes taking responsibility. Like for our own growth, how we impact others, even how we deal with death and, you know, what comes next.
Absolutely. And that idea of responsibility, it connects right back to his whole psyche and essence thing. Remember, he suggests what we call mental illness could actually be like an undeveloped essence.
Yeah, it's almost like he's saying, hey, maybe those difficult emotions and experiences, they're not something to just get rid of, but like opportunities to grow.
Exactly. It challenges how we usually think about these things.
And those intentional stress things he talks about, hypnotism, mantras, even just tough times. Mm-hmm. Those are the tools to like break down the psyche and let the essence come through.
It's a pretty radical concept for sure.
Yeah.
But Gold always comes back to this need for guidance. You know, he's not saying just go out and do anything crazy or dangerous.
Oh, no, definitely not.
It's about approaching these practices with awareness, being intentional, and having a good teacher, someone who can show you the way.
Right, right. Now, speaking of teachers, what about that one word, That hidden key in the scriptures.
Ah, yes, the one word. It's such a fascinating idea, isn't it? Like this quest for the ultimate answer.
Yeah, but he doesn't make it easy, does he? He's all about the search for that word, not just finding it.
Exactly. Gold's whole point is that the effort we put in, that's what changes us.
It's like that analogy he uses, the safe with the combination lock.
Yeah.
Just turning that dial, trying to crack the code, that's what opens it up.
And that journey, it's usually full of challenges, right? Setbacks, times when you just feel lost.
Like in that story about Yasin today, right? The snail's promising all these secrets about the inner world, but we never actually get them.
Exactly. And maybe that's part of it too, you know, not taking ourselves too seriously, learning to laugh at the absurdity of it all.
Maybe. So this whole one word thing, it's about being open to different paths, trusting your gut, finding what's true for you.
That's the idea. Gold's all about questioning everything, not just accepting dogma. Even your own assumptions. Now, we were talking about that biosphere concept earlier.
Oh, yeah, that was a tough one.
Definitely. But it seems like Gold's using it in a way bigger sense than we normally do. It's not just about the Earth. It's this, well, like this field of consciousness where every thought, every feeling, every action leaves its mark.
Okay, so it's kind of like this giant energy field that connects us all.
That's one way to think about it. And then, remember, he ties that back to mass being a form of communication.
Right, all those masses becoming immortal ideas in the universal mind, or however we put it.
Yeah, it sounds pretty out there. But what he seems to be saying is that when we work on ourselves, when we try to grow and evolve, we're not just affecting ourselves, we're leaving this mark on a much bigger level.
Wow. So, like, we're all part of something much larger.
Exactly. It makes you think, doesn't it? What kind of impact do you want to have on the world?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's not just about me. It's about everyone.
Right. And that's something Gold comes back to again and again, this idea of service, whether it's those ashram principles or that whole bodhisattva thing. Dedicating yourself to helping others seems to be a big part of it all.
It makes you think. I mean, our world's so focused on, like, me, 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 and he's talking about helping everyone.
It's a different way of looking at things, that's for sure. But it's also hopeful, you know? Like, we can create a world where we're all connected, where we care for each other.
So as we finish up this deep dive into E.J. Gold, I'm feeling, well, kind of amazed by all these ideas, but also challenged to, like, actually do something with them, to make them real in my own life.
That's the journey, isn't it? To keep exploring, keep growing, and to use what we learn to help others.
Exactly. Thanks for joining us on this incredible journey into the mind of E.J. Gold. We hope you enjoyed the ride, and we'll leave you with this. If we're all connected and our actions really do matter, what kind of impact do you want to make on the world? Keep diving, folks.